Hello? Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies.
Here it is. Guess what, people? I'm unsupervised! Okay, nobody panic. It's all right. Hold on to your hats. It's going to be okay. It's me, Natasha Spencer-Levy, and welcome back to another episode of Death, a Funny Business. I am on my own today because Becky Briggs is in Sweden, which means that, yeah, I'm on my own, people. Oh, and I'm back. I've been away for 3 weeks. So, hello. It's nice to be back in the studio with everyone. And, yeah. Death Funny Business. If you're new, this is the show where we talk all things grief and healing, and occasionally we have a little giggle if we can. And if we can't, we have a little cry. And that's all right too. Yeah, my goodness. Me alone, all on my own. What to talk about? I suppose the other day, well, I've left Becky in the lurch for the last 3 weeks because I've been in theatre land, treading the boards. I've been playing a 13-year-old girl whose dad dies, so it feels pretty appropriate to have been doing that. And I've had a great time doing a workshop of a new musical, which has been super duper fun. But I'm very, very happy to be back in the studio. And yeah, today we've got some really interesting guests. We've got Julia Engelhorn, who's the author and founder of Precious Scars, which is a really gorgeous community, and I'm excited to talk to her a bit more about her her stuff. And Andrea Walker, who's the artistic director of 201 Dance, and he's going to be talking to us all about, well, us. It's just me. Wait, no, it isn't just me, because there are listeners too. Anyway, Andrea's going to be talking to us about his new project called Sad Book, which is a dance experience all about grief, and yeah, it's going to be super duper interesting. So yeah, what to say? When Becky was here on her own the other day, she kind of did a deep dive on her grief journey, and we kind of had a little chat, and we think it might be useful for me to talk about my grief journey and maybe how interesting that has been. I'm not gonna lie, guys, right now I've never been more red and hot in my entire life. Poor Becky has to sit in this big chair. It feels very, very serious. And as you lot know, I'm the least serious person on the planet. Well, no, I can be serious. Anyway, let's talk about my dead mum. So I met Becky in year three. My goodness, we were seven. And it was actually, I believe, just after or just before my mum died. So Becky kind of came into my life as my mother left, which is slightly symbolic, which is quite nice. But I was very, very little when my mum passed. And as you can imagine, being 7 years old, it's quite an overwhelming thing to experience. I don't know how much I need to go into details about what happened and how it happened, but yeah, it's been something that has changed my entire life, perhaps for the better, perhaps for the worse. I mean, obviously, in a world of perfection, I would love to know my mum more than I do. And but in a way, being seven is slightly a blessing, because I was slightly less attuned to what was going on in a way, and I think able to kind of be slightly less aware at the time. Now as an adult, we deal with repercussions of our childhood much more as we get older, which is terrifying in its own right. But yeah, my mum died when I was seven, and I have a little sister who was five, and she is the light of my life. She got mad at me the other day because she listened to a podcast where I said that she was, I don't know, I must have said something nasty, and she said that I wasn't very nice about her. So this is me telling the world that my sister is an angelic creature. She's wonderful. And yeah, we kind of were in it together, and along with my dad, who did his absolute best. And yeah, it was a rough old time. I simply remember Becky was talking about how quick it was for her to for her like experience of her dad being there and they're not. For me, it was a bit more of a long journey. I've always known my mum as being ill, like from pretty much, I can't really remember a time when she wasn't poorly. And then when we moved to Kent, which is where we kind of eventually ended up living, she just got sicker and she went into hospice. And the hospice isn't, and I, you know, I've said this to a lot of friends recently, actually, who are going through a similar thing. Hospice care is so unbelievably important. And the government are trying to do all kinds of crazy things to hospice care at the moment. So would definitely be an advocate for all of that. But they were amazing and they looked after my mom so much and they were so supportive. And then about, they kind of told her that she had a year. And from what I understand, she had about 3 weeks and that was it. She went back in, she came back. And then I remember she one evening had this kind of very intense experience of seeing her taken away in an ambulance. And then 3 weeks later, she was dead. And it's honestly, there are stories among stories that I could tell you about crazy shit that happens when you are seven and you're forced to kind of confront such dark themes. But we don't have enough time for that. But what I will say is that I have this very, Becky and I have grieved very differently. We've grieved at different times. We've had very different experience. And I think it's super interesting that I'm like in a such a different place in my journey. And it's not to say that it's any better or any worse, but it's just very, very different. And I think it definitely speaks to people who are kind of, if you're wherever you are in your journey, it's definitely something that it's different with everyone. And whether that's something that you can comprehend or not. I mean, for me, where I am right now is I've been in therapy for like, God, like 4 years, proper therapy for like 4 years. And I feel like so much of the stuff that you kind of take on, especially at that age of like seven, when you don't really know the trauma you're taking on, you don't really understand how it affects you in your personal adult life until you really face it head on. And I think, honestly, therapy has been the biggest thing that has changed my existence, and I'm very lucky that I can access that. But I feel like I'm in a place where I can talk about my mum really positively. I feel like I can look back and see how far I've come in a sense of not as from being seven, but like how far I've come from grieving every day, and how, and that doesn't look like crying every day. It just looks like the, it can look like the actions that you take around other people. It can look like the actions you take for yourself, whether that's looking after yourself or denying yourself things. And I'm really proud of where I've come right now, because, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of it boils down to the things that you experience in your youth. And yeah, I'm really proud of what Becky and I have done as well. And oh, what was my mum like? My mum was lovely. My mum was the loveliest of lovelies. She was very stern. She was a lawyer. She was 4'11". And she'll hate me for saying this story, but I'm going to do it anyway because I've only got a minute left. she was a lawyer, and her nickname around the office, from what I've heard, was the poison dwarf, which I think is an excellent explanation for her demeanor. She was strict and stern, but also the coolest mum. She was also an artist, so she all I remember from my childhood is constantly painting with her and constantly crafting. And our kitchen wall, the whole space, like floor to ceiling, was every single picture and painting that me and my sister could make with my mum, and was just like floor to ceiling painted. I very specifically remember a pig, like a pink pig painting with a yogurt pot as a nose. And Yeah, that was my mum. She also really, really liked... Who is it? Is it The Cure? Yeah, she's got bad taste in music, but in a good way. Like, rough rock. And she was just really cool and really beautiful, actually. Absolute MILF, if I do say so myself. So I'm excited. Anyway, so yeah, we've got some really interesting guests coming up. Julia Engelhorn is going to talk to us about her experience with her the grief of her children and violent crime. So that's going to be pretty heavy. And Andrew Walker is the artistic director of 201 Dance, and he's going to be talking to us about his new project. So there are lots of exciting things happening. Oh, I do have one thing to talk about, death industry-wise. The Isle of Man have officially made assisted dying legal in this country. So we have the first legal assisted dying place, I don't know, county in this, in our country, which is pretty cool. So if anyone's thinking about that, maybe the Isle of Man is the place for you. No, I don't mean it like that. That sounds like I'm endorsing something dangerous. Please don't hurt yourselves. Anyway, no one should give me a microphone. This is a terrible idea. I don't know whose idea this was. Becky, please come back. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I think that's really cool. We've had some really interesting guests come on and talk to us about assisted dying and how important it is and the legislation. I'm going to stop saying it. That. Behind it and how important it is. And I think that that's a really exciting time with all that's going on in this country at the moment and how rubbish everything is, that's kind of a plus. So yeah, we're going to go to a break and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Julia. And yeah, so good luck all. Get a cup of tea.
Foo Bar Radio. Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we
things.
Should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't... There's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
You're listening to Foo Bar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foo Bar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Foo Bar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
The Foo Bar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on Fubar Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He is the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that, because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He is the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that, because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
And we are back. And we are joined in the studio, well, joined on Zoom by Julia Engelhorn. And hello, Julia. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. In 2017... your three-year-old twins, Maximo and Octavia, were murdered by your ex-husband in retaliation of your divorce. And he was charged but committed with, committed suicide while awaiting trial. You founded an organization, Precious Scars, to create a community for those at risk of violent crime, dealing with the loss of children to violence. And you've also published a book about how you pulled yourself together and learned to live after the loss of your twins. So... the first thing I want to do is say thank you so much for coming on. It is a pleasure to talk to you. And if you feel comfortable with sharing, I'd love to ask a little bit about the twins and ask you about what Maximo and Octavia were like.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me. It's always great to share the message, really, and to talk about it, because I'm one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I think we don't talk about grief and death enough.
Absolutely.
But to come back to your question, I mean, they were very different. Maximo was always much more quiet and would watch what Octavia did, because she was always more outgoing and very, very strong-headed. And then once he decided, okay, I can do it, or I've watched enough, and then he would follow and do what she does.
They sound so lovely. And I just want to say, like, I'm so, so sorry for your loss, but I'm so grateful that we can give you even a small platform to keep their memory alive. And I'm just going to ask you some questions about your experience and how you ended up writing the book and creating the platform, which is gorgeous. So losing a children to violence is something that many people could not even begin to comprehend. And healing from a traumatic event like that is a very long journey and probably quite painful. I wonder what was the hardest part of your own healing process, and how did you find strength to move forward in such grief?
I think realizing that healing is not a five-step process. I always assumed, you know, the typical five stages of grief, that would kind of, you know, tick them off the list kind of thing. And it has nothing to do with it. And it's ongoing for the rest of your life, basically, because the love you have for the person you lost, for the twins that I had, is never going to leave. It's always going to be part of me. So grief is always going to be part of my life now. And it's just kind of realizing that you learn to live with it. It's part of you now, part of me. And you kind of build your life around it as best as you can, and you learn to kind of live with the feelings that you have to keep going, and you keep discovering new things that that you thought had you might have worked on, but you still have to continue to do it.
Absolutely.
So it's always a learning process.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. What motivated you to create your website, preciousscars.org, after everything you've been through? It is such a overwhelming amount of loss. I wonder how you even began to decide to start kind of building that for other people, you know?
I think it all started kind of when I initially lost the twins. One of my ways to kind of try and figure out how to heal was to read books and to read books about people who had lost somebody. Because in South Africa, especially, I mean, here in England, you have lots of support groups, lots of charities that help you with this. But in South Africa, I didn't know of anybody, and nobody kind of helped me to figure it out. So I resorted to books, and I never found any books written by a parent who had lost a child. And that really annoyed me. And until I realized, okay, nobody has written it, or at least I couldn't find one. I have to do it. So that's how it kind of started, because it's I wanted to be able to help other parents who had gone through something similar. Because obviously it's nobody really wants to talk about losing a child, and especially not to violence. And obviously there are many people who have.
Absolutely. And in your memoir, Precious Scars, the same title as the organization online, you detail your journey through the whole experience of losing the twins. And what did writing it and sharing your story with others bring to your own healing? Did you find kind of a sense of healing when writing, or was it more of the giving that was more helpful to you?
It was a very healing process. I think just writing down, because it kind of started with letters to my twins. So just writing it was very cathartic, because just the act of writing helps a lot to put thoughts and feelings down onto paper, makes it somehow more real. And then just the process of then writing it, and then with the editing and everything and rereading what I wrote, and especially when I read it sometime later, because it took a while until I actually got to a stage to actually have it printed. It was also very emotional just to reread it and to again go back to that stage and feel what I was feeling at the time. And I think just also just always talking about it and going through the feelings helps to just release them more, because sometimes when we don't talk and we keep the emotions in, and that's obviously not good for our physical or mental health.
No, absolutely. And it sounds like it sounds almost like a journaling experience that you kind of had, where, and it just happens to be that something ended up being published. But how has it been received from other mothers or other parents who've lost children once it was published?
It has been quite good. Yes, I think it helped them to see that they're not on their own, to see that other parents have gone through similar things. Obviously, every grief is different.
Absolutely.
And what we go through for everybody is different. But there are some similarities. And just to see that somebody else has gone through it, it might have been worse or not, it doesn't really matter in the end. But just the feeling of not being alone.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the most important part of the whole grieving process. How would you define, you know, how would you describe a way that we can better support people who are grieving, perhaps specifically in regards to people who've lost children or lost children to violence? What would be your advice?
I think it's to let them know, to kind of publish it more, that there is help out there. Because as I said, there are charities that help with bereavement. But I don't know how easily accessible it is for most people, that they don't actually realize that this resource is available to them.
Absolutely.
I volunteer for Cruise Bereavement, for example, but because I am in this movement of trying to help and be of service. But if you just started in this healing journey, if you just lost somebody, if you just lost a child, it is very difficult to kind of get out of yourself and try and find help if it's not handed to you.
Absolutely. And I think that the conversation we're having is still really, really important. So I guess I will ask you one last question. for those who are listening or grieving or struggling with the aftermath of violence or the loss of a child, what would you want them to take away from today's conversation, from conversations you've had with your platform or through your book? What would you like them to know?
I think the most important thing is that you're not alone, and that there is hope, there's light at the end of the tunnel. It is a very long and painful process, but there is still life left to live. It's Absolutely. Not the end. I know Absolutely. Sometimes, especially if you're in the midst of it, it sounds awful and not fair, not possible, but it is, and you will get through it.
Thank you so much. And would you like to just quickly share where people can find you and your platforms?
So the platform is preciousscars.org, and my book is available on Amazon and some bookstores, Waterstones online especially also sells it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Julia. We are going to go to break, but thank you for talking to us today, and best of luck with everything. Thank you.
Fubar Radio.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Miss Chloe Brockett in the studio.
It got to the point where I wasn't enjoying it as much as I used to. I used to love it. You know, it was my life. I wasn't in relationships because I was going on TOWIE. I wasn't, you know, invested in anything other than the show because I loved it so much. And then as I got older, I just didn't enjoy it anymore. I noticed that the cast around me had changed, all the OGs had gone, and I'd all of a sudden become an OG at 23 and was a bit like, you know what, I don't think this is for me anymore.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
And I know conversion therapy doesn't work because one of the most popular conversion therapy camps in America, I watched a documentary, it is a two-week-long programme. They all share a room for the week. Now, look, I don't want to insinuate too much, but my one hope is that if they do get caught, they adopt a parenting tactic of making them smoke the whole packet. Oh, you like sucking cock, do you? Well, you're not leaving this room until all of these cocks have been sucked.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we
things.
Should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't. There's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
And we are back. We are back from the break. I just want to say a quick apology for the connectivity issues with Julia there, but what a lovely, lovely lady to talk to, and super important story. So, yeah, hopefully that all came across as much as it can. And on Zoom live, we have our second guest, which is Andrea Walker, the artistic director of 201 Dance, director and choreographer for Sad Book, a new production inspired by Michael Rosen's award-winning book, which I have read and it made me cry. It is very, very sad. It was written after the death of his son, explores the topic of grief, and whilst it's not a children's book, it is often used to help children cope with grief. Andrea approached Michael, who gave him full creative control over the show, and the production retells the story through dance, physical theatre, animation and original music. Andrea lost his mum to cancer in 2023 and has used his personal experience to fuel the show. Andrea, how are you doing today?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in. Well, coming into the Zoom. Now, as tradition, I like to ask people about the person that they have lost and what that was like for them. And I just want to know, what was your mum like and what was her name?
Yeah, my mum was called Margaret. She was amazing, to be honest. She was a teacher in school, quite like a stern woman, but a woman who always knew what to say, always knew what to do. Very that kind of vibe, I would say.
She sounds awesome. She sounds like my mom, to be honest. I've had a little look online and I watched the trailer for Sad Book, and it was honestly the quickest thing I've said to Yaz is like, I want to see this show. I want to see the show as a creative, as an actor. Myself, I was like, oh, this looks incredible and beautifully designed and beautifully told already, and I haven't even seen it yet and I can already rave about it just from one trailer. But you've shared that reading Sad Book was the first time you felt your own mental health was seen and your grief were directly spoken to. Could you elaborate a bit on why this specific book and what kind of influenced you so deeply?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that there's so many different ways of describing grief and sadness and depression. And there was something about this book, you know, like the language is so simple and so direct. And I feel that as adults, we're always trying to find answers to our problems. And I never thought I would find those answers in a children's book, you know. And the first page is literally this man smiling, and the first sentence is, this is me being sad. And I had never read anything that spoke to me in that way, to be honest.
And having experienced a quite recent loss of your mum, how did that experience kind of inform your approach to creating the adaptation of Sad Book through dance?
Sure. Yeah, I lost my mom in 2023, but sadly I lost her to cancer. So it was this long journey grief. in the book, Michael Rosen talks about imagining his mom in the rain. And I kind of took that with some artistic liberty. And there's this beautiful solo in the piece, which is Michael Rosen's mom dancing in the rain, but my mom dancing in the rain, to be honest. And it's still my favorite bit in the show. I can't watch it without getting emotional, to be honest. But we have this incredible dancer called Tamai, and she just brings so much depth to the solo, and I just love it, to be honest.
Oh, that's lovely. Grief is often quite difficult to express through words and everything. So I was just wondering, how have you found dance and theatre to be quite a useful tool for exploring kind of those emotions of sadness and grief? How has that been for you?
Yeah, it's been amazing, to be honest. I feel like, I love reading and I love words, but I always feel that, especially when it comes to sadness and grief, there's only so much that words can say. So with dance and with movement, it's just been amazing to really internalize that feeling and put it on stage. With Sad Book in particular, it's a book that is so personal to Michael, and he really wanted to explain to people, you know, feeling sad is okay. No ifs, no buts, no, oh, you feel sad now, but don't worry, you'll be happy eventually. Like, what I really love about this book and what I really wanted to come across in the show is, you know, sadness is such a valid emotion. Feel sad, it's absolutely fine. Feel sad for however long as you like and however you like as well, you know.
And talking about Michael, he gave you complete creative freedom with adapting Sad Book for stage. And was, I wonder if there's a, there was a key moment in your discussion with him that's really shaped the direction of the production. Was there a moment that you two really felt like you were, because he's given you all the creative control, which is incredible and often quite rare.
I was really pleasantly surprised, to be honest. I wouldn't say there was a moment that informed the direction, because to be honest, we created the whole show and then I sent it to him and I was like, what do you think of this, Mike?
Amazing.
I mean, we approached Michael for the rights.
Yes.
And that's when he was fully on board. And he said, Andrea, feel free to have creative control.
Yeah.
But probably my most precious moment with Michael was sitting with him in the audience at our premiere at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And it's just a surreal moment to sit there with the man who's written the book. Such a personal story as well. Yeah. And for him to love it and for him to now literally be in the show as well is just a dream come true, to be honest.
And how is, did you mean he's physically in the show?
He is indeed.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Could you tell us a bit
more
about that?
So what happened is that, so basically now on specific dates, including our date in London at Hackney Empire, he is narrating live on stage. So the action will be taking place on stage and he is there narrating the book live.
Oh, that is so awesome. What a lovely thing to be able to do with the author as well. I mean, that is so great. I'm so excited. I'm coming to the Hackney Empire on the 2nd, so I am absolutely thrilled that we'll get to see that as well. Could you tell me a bit about the feedback from audiences? Have you found that there's a lot of people resonating with it? Or what's the feedback you've been getting?
Yeah, it's been amazing and really touching, to be honest. I mean, when I created the show, I created it because the book really spoke to me, but then obviously I put a lot of myself into it. And what Sad Book has really taught me is that grief is such a individual experience for anyone, isn't it? And especially throughout this tour, we've been doing a lot of Q&As after the shows. And to be honest, it's been quite special. It's we had so many people just speaking up about their own experience about grief and how much the show resonated with them. And it kind of felt a little bit like this mini therapy session where everyone was just talking about how the show spoke to them, really. And I found it quite special.
That's gorgeous. I mean, what a wonderful experience of kind of having the opportunity to talk to your audience as well. I feel like that's quite rare.
And you know, as well, I feel that with death and grief, such a taboo subject, isn't
absolutely.
It? And it shouldn't be. And it's just so refreshing to discuss it so openly, you know?
100%. With your experience of grief and also, I mean, directing and choreographing, have you found it a cathartic experience for yourself? Because obviously reading the book, you felt quite inspired by that anyway, but have you found the process, the creative process, cathartic in any way?
Oh my god, so cathartic. And to be honest, I mean, I found Sad Book extremely cathartic.
Yeah.
Now we're also creating a brand new show that is all about my mom and all about our relationship and those final tough days when she was battling cancer. So I find putting death and grief in my work extremely cathartic and helpful, to be honest.
That is awesome. I mean, it sounds like the book gave you such inspiration anyway, I'm sure. Do you find that as a creative in general, you use a lot of your own experiences as in your work?
Yeah, for sure.
And how do you, I mean, after creating such a personal piece like Sad Book, obviously you've talked about creating new work about your mum. Do you envision yourself carrying on with that kind of path for a while?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I mean, Sad Book, it took almost 7 years to make.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite the mission. And obviously now I'm jumping into this show about my mum, and that will take quite a few years to make as well. I might be done with grief after that, but stay tuned to find out for sure.
With your new show, will we get any sneak peeks about that? Do we get any...
I mean, there's not really any sneak peeks to give. It's very early days. We've done 2 weeks of research and development.
Oh, that's awesome.
We have like a fantastic team on board. Richard Evans doing our music again.
For someone in an audience in one of your for one of your shows, it was struggling with grief or bereavement. What would you like to say to them?
Oh gosh, I would like to say, feel grief however you want to feel grief. There's no correct answer. Every answer is valid. Every way to feel grief is valid. And if people don't understand that, that's their problem.
Amen. Amen. Know. And where can we find you on all your platforms or show? Tell us where we can find you.
Yeah, so you can find us on at 201 Dance Company on all our socials, Insta, Facebook, X. And yeah, come and see the show in Banbury this week, or come and see Sad Book on the 2nd of April at Hackney Empire. It's our final date. It's closing the tour, and Michael Rosen will be narrating live.
Oh, amazing. I cannot wait to come. So I will see you on the 2nd, hopefully.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
See you then.
See you then. Bye-bye. Thank you, Andrea. Andrea, what a lovely fella. So sweet. I am so, so, so excited that we're seeing his show. Becky and I are going to go together. And honestly, I would recommend it. I mean, I watched the trailer. I already said this, but I watched the trailer in preparation for meeting Andrea today. And I honestly already shed a tear. It was so beautiful. And it was just a minute clip of the piece they've created. So very excited to see that. And as my Year 5 teacher, Mrs. Moss-Helen, would say, never rely on technology. That's stayed with me since I was 11. 11? No. What's Year 5? 10? I don't know. Anyway, point being, yeah, apologies for that little crispy crackly sound, but I hope we all found that there was a level of experience that can be shared together. And Sad Book is a really interesting book as well, and it's actually illustrated by Quentin Blake, who illustrated all the Roald Dahl books, which I love. And gosh, what a time to be alive. Now, honestly, what a show for me to be doing on my own. I feel like I should be giving myself a pat on the back for handling that like a freaking pro, if you ask me. Cool as a fucking cucumber. Who'd have thought it? Not me. Not me. Anyway, point being, I have been super, super grateful for the guests that we've had on today. Julia, what a crazy strong lady. And it kind of puts a fire up my ass to be a bit stronger and to just know that we're all doing the right thing in the right way. And Andrea is creating art, and I think that that's such an important thing to do, especially when it comes to your grief. And if you feel that there's something that you could output, that's an incredible thing to do. I've had a great day. What have I done today? I made an apple crumble yesterday. It was a freaking great apple crumble. Actually, I know exactly what I'm going to talk about. I would like to take this opportunity in the last 3 minutes that I have left to tell people to go and talk to their grandparents, because my next door neighbor, he's not my next door neighbor, he's four doors down, but my next door neighbor is technically, he's not my granddad, but I call him Granddad Ray, because he's the equivalent and the only thing I have close to my granddad. Now, Granddad Ray, love him to death. He is the funniest, most brilliant. He is what, he hate me if I got this wrong, but he's 84. And honestly, I see him more than I see any of my friends. And when I do something in the house or when something fun happens, I immediately want to tell Ray. So yesterday I made an apple crumble and I thought, who can I share this with? And I said, Ray. So I called Ray and I told him he had to come to the house to get some apple crumble, which he did. And then he proceeded to mow my lawn because he was like, this is really, the lawn looks like shit. And I was like, well, I'm sorry, that sucks. But my point is, I'd really like to encourage my listeners and our listeners to reach out to those people who I think, you know, who you don't always talk to. I think there's a level of an age gap that happens, especially when people are grieving. Ray lost his wife, Sandra, in a year ago. And I've been trying my best to see him as much as possible, but also because I freaking love the fella. I would actually go as far as to say he's my best friend. Like, probably, like, he's up there with Becky. Like, they're on a level of, like, Ray knows everything about me. I got broken up with a boy not long ago, and he was the first person I called. I actually got broken up with, and then immediately just left the house and knocked on his door and was like, who? And he was like, what happened? And I said, and then he said, come inside, I've put a garlic bread in the oven already. So he then fed me garlic bread, which was great, and we watched Four on a Bed. My point is, talk to your old people. He doesn't like me calling him old, but it's very important. Life is really, really precious, and we don't have time to waste in being nervous about talking to people. And yeah, I would just freaking recommend talking to your neighbors and talking to your elderly friends, because they have a lot to share. And sometimes they say weird things, and sometimes they're not going to understand what you're talking about. I taught him the word, well, the adjective slaps yesterday. I said, this apple crumble slaps. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, right. And, but it's awfully fun. But anyway, I hope you all have a wonderful evening. And it's been a pleasure doing this on my own. And, yeah, hope you have a brilliant rest of your week. And I'll be back next week with Becky, and life will be restored. Have a good one.
FUBAR Radio.